Eights.
And the next time you feel like showing off.
Imagine stuck inside a box.
Ohatmu or Not covers the official handbook of the Marvel Universe Deluxe Edition, an encyclopedia series published from 1985 to 1988 by Marvel Comics. And we cover it with several panelists with little to no knowledge of the Marvel Universe, giving their first impressions of each character, its look, concept, and story. Warning, listener discretion is advised. Ohatmu or Not is a proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. This is your host, Siskoid, and with me today are...
Isabel!
Natalie!
It is
Shotgun!
Primus to Cycle Man.
Primus. The most sophisticated genetic creation of Arnim Zola is Primus, the first of those creations to show creative intelligence and a high degree of autonomy. He also has certain shape-shifting abilities like making his skin armored or so soft, it's kind of like Silly Putty. And then taking on the appearance of another person. For example, he was once sent to ruin Captain America's reputation by taking over Steve Rogers' life. Primus sees himself as the first of a new race. He's lonely and seeks companionship and has turned against his creator several times for denying him freedom and love. Any humans friendly to his cause? He'd love to turn into androids, like him. But that's impossible, so he hopes to find love among the human race. Pictured fighting Cap.
So, he is an android, and he wants to turn people into androids?
Like he'd like to, but he can't.
Why doesn't he just find another android?
There are no other androids.
Yeah.
An Apple world, okay?
Arnim Zola. They say android, but also I don't think they know what the word means. So, because he's a genetic creation.
Oh.
So he's not really an android, but let's say he's
more of like a Frankenstein's monster situation.
Yeah, like a false
human. Like someone built him.
Right.
Nothing like him exists.
An artificial person.
When you said the most autonomical, I heard anatomical.
The most anatomically
correct.
Okay, yeah. When you were saying that the skin was soft...
Could be soft.
I was just like, oh, you mean like I don't know, fleece?
Yeah.
Like satin?
No, yes. It's basically
cashmere. Like dough.
It's a memory foam.
Oh, I hate that.
No.
I just don't want like a... Plunging your fingers.
Oh, no.
Counterpoint.
Okay, I see where you're going.
You know when you lay on a guy's shoulder?
Okay. I see what you mean.
This android is jacked. So your head would be like completely too high. So you'd totally get a stiff neck. Stiff.
You can do that too, apparently.
Yes, but if he could soften his shoulder, it would be all comfortable and cuddly. And you don't have to look at it. Because I agree that looking at someone being memory foam is...
But yeah, you have your face all squished and you can't breathe.
You can also turn into other people. So in terms of looks... He can look like other people.
So that's not nice.
Look like yourself. Although, memory foam self.
If I'm honest, I don't love how he looks.
No.
He's very aggressive.
Yeah, he looks very angry.
He's got that villain brow.
Mm. Yeah.
And he has a five head.
He does.
And like his stance is very like, I do bodybuilding.
Mm.
There's an aggression here that I don't love.
You see... When we talked about the memory foam aspect of him, my mind did not go there. I don't want to know what my insides look like.
What?
What are you talking about? It gets into you and then it shapes into you.
No.
No!
What? No, that's not what his power is.
But why not?
Why
he
not?
He gets stiff and then he gets all soft inside you.
Wait, is the erection when he's or like armored skin?
Yes, of course, because that's how it goes. You finish him, and then it gets all mushy and. Ugh.
Okay, so your fear is that when he pulls out,
it's the shape of your uterus.
Yeah, it's the shape of my insides.
It's been molded.
I don't
imagine that.
I don't think
uterus
that,
is a bit far, but.
But it wouldn't work that way though, because if it's soft enough to form to your insides. Then it would go out of form coming out.
It's hopefully.
Spring
hopefully.
Back.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Or well, flatten in the...
I mean, memory foam does take a couple seconds to get back.
It is.
Like think of an earplug. Think of an earplug. You put it in, you take it out, it rubs all the way out, but yeah, it still keeps its shape for a while.
But I don't look at it and think, this is the inside of my ear. Well, bizarre.
But it is.
But it is the inside of your ear.
Yes, but you know what I think? Thank you, earplug. You rendered me a great service.
And that's what you also say to Primus.
Thank you, Peeps.
Oh, I do feel bad for him, though. It's a little sad. It's a sympathetic plight. He just wants to be loved. Like, that's pretty sad.
But he feels superior, right?
I didn't say that.
Okay.
But he's just, he feels like a superior race.
He feels like he is the first member of a new race.
Okay, not necessarily. Okay.
Why didn't Zola dude make him a friend?
Because he's a jerk. This is the guy who has, like, his face and his chest and just, like, a camera for a head. In other words, I think he sacrificed his own penis.
And you can never trust that.
He doesn't care about... I don't think he wants Primus to procreate.
No.
Maybe he's seen Bride of Frankenstein and it doesn't go well.
And you know, maybe he didn't even, like, give him the attributes to...
Well, he's a shapeshifter.
Oh, okay.
Is that the sound of a direction?
He's really more of a grower than a shower.
Yeah, I'm growing an appendage.
I will say, my sound. I never like it when they can, like, transform into other people. That just... It would worry me.
It erodes trust.
Yeah, like, what if I'm not talking to who I think I'm talking to? Like, that feels invasive. Yeah.
Well, you would just insist to talk to his yellow self.
Yeah,
no,
but he could,
don't know.
He could be pretending to be Isabel.
He could be doing this
so
podcast right now.
Yes. Don't sleep with your sister.
I'm more saying in, like, the conversational sense. Like,
yeah.
If I'm, like, saying something personal that I don't want him to know about or whatever, and then...
She's talking trash behind Primus's back.
Yeah!
Oh,
to Primus, who has taken the shape of another person.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable.
Some person that Nat would tell gossip to, which would be just about anyone.
Yes, that's
so
true.
Imagine, though, if, like, there was a condition that if he was someone else, he had to be memory foam.
So you're just like,
you know,
poking
just
everybody,
squeezing people's arms to see if they are really who they say they are.
Excellent. I like that.
You are foam.
That is how I choose to imagine him henceforth.
All right. Well, is Primus in your imagination or on the page hot or not?
He looks like the Oscar statue.
Yes! Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing.
Is that thing. A hot? Does that mean hot?
It's shiny.
There's a sword missing, though. Give him a
is
sword.
Is there a sword?
There's no sword.
It's holding something. I'm pretty sure it's
a
sword.
Is it a sword?
I need to Google it now.
What?
Is he holding a sword?
But what?
I thought he was holding an Oscar.
The sword of cinema. He's holding also an Oscar. That's holding an Oscar. That's holding an Oscar.
Now that I would respect.
He's holding his abs.
No, it's a sword. It is a sword.
Why?
I'm sure there's a reason that has
the
been
sword
lost
of cinema.
Time.
Yes, yeah.
It's the sword they used to cut the film
with. Oh, yeah. In the medieval times.
Yes, absolutely.
Medieval times.
Did I get my answer?
No. We didn't answer.
That was my answer. No.
Yeah, that's our answer. We're uninspired either way.
I'm going to say no, although I do feel bad for him. But I just don't like the vibe here.
No, I feel
like
he could
the energy.
Be.
I have one question that might change my mind. You said he was creative?
Well, he was the first creative intelligence.
How?
In the sense that he had independence,
he's not like doing paintings.
No, yeah. he doesn't. Well, maybe because.
But he could, I guess.
Well, when he was posing as Steve Rogers, Steve Rogers is an artist.
Steve Rogers is an artist?
Yeah, the sketchbook artist, kind of. A drawer. I don't know if he emulated that, but it just means that he was not a robot that just obeyed orders. He had his own mind that. You know, make decisions.
So it's more like a creative thinking, less than like art.
Correct.
Okay.
How is he at storytelling and role playing?
Well, he can
role playing must be good, right? Since he poses other people.
It is just like, and then she was like, and he was like.
He'd be handy on an improv team, I'm sure. I do not want to date him.
that just described most improv players.
I know.
That married one.
I did.
So did I.
No. Nah.
It's enough. It's enough. Wanda was going to see Elf, a big brown beaver, and she shows him off to all her friends. One day you know that beaver tried to leave her, so she gave him up a cyclone fence. Along came Lou with the old bamboos, and recognized that smell. Princess Python. Well, Zelda Dubois is part of the Circus of Crime, but was also a member of the Serpent Squad and then the Serpent Society.
Yes.
Naturally. She has a great rapport with a 25-foot python that does her bidding. It responds to her movements, which have a dance-like quality. She actually prefers her snake's company to any humans. She came into conflict with such heroes as Spider-Man, the Avengers, the Hulk, and Howard the Duck. Usually with a team, but her big solo outing at this point was against Iron Man, and that's pictured in the main image. If you believe that Iron Man can be defeated by a normal snake, then that story is for you.
Big snake, though.
Yeah, big snake.
I would be defeated by the snake, I'm sure.
Do pythons really grow to 25 feet? They grow fairly big. That seems excessive.
They get pretty big if they have the room for it, I think.
Does the python have a name?
I don't know. I don't think so.
How can it be like your best friend and not have a name?
That we know.
Yeah, maybe she has a bunch of pet names. You know how like cat owners have like 1,000 names for their cats? Maybe yes. She has like 1,000 nicknames for this python.
Mr. Sharptooth.
I love everything about this.
It's same. This is what.
I'm damn right.
So what, Isabel's wedding haircut?
That's true.
Oh, yeah. It's not that far. Less snake.
Less, yeah. That's what that was missing from.
I think, I'm not sure if the edge fringes bother me more or the fact that the boots and tights are all the same material. I don't know. Something about it is making me itchy.
I think the tights are a little busy.
I wish she had boots. Or something to kind of break it up.
Yeah, their shoe should have been like an undercolor or.
Imagine if it was like a sling back. That'd be so cute.
I think that would have helped like break up the pattern, the busyness as well.
Mm-hmm. Or if at least she didn't have that pattern also on her arms.
Yeah. Because yeah. Like if her arms were out or like maybe even like black sleeves or something.
She has a very long torso.
Damn, you're right.
Elisa's Long Torso Club.
Serpent Society, Long Torso Club. That's almost the same if you think about it.
I mean, most serpents have very long torsos.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you're right.
Have they always been friends? Her and her serpent? Were they raised together?
How did they meet?
There's a lot we don't know about Princess Python.
Well, let's make it up. Okay. The year
she was raised in a nest of snakes.
She fell out of a plane and landed in a nest of snakes.
Well, it's kind of like that. I like when animals do that, where, like, it happened, I think it was in Japan a few years ago, where, like, the snake wouldn't eat normal food. They tried giving him, like, frozen mice, and he didn't eat frozen mice. They gave him, like, a straight-up alive mouse or hamster or whatever, and he didn't eat it. They just became best friends.
Yeah, I saw that.
And his name was, like, Food or something. So, like, maybe that's what happened. She was dropped, and then he was like, my best friend. And then they cuddle.
So she was like Tarzan, raised by an Six. Animal.
Yes. Oh, in Darlington, South Carolina.
Can I just say, I love the name Dubois.
Like, Zelda Dubois is
like,
awesome.
I feel like it's such like a southern name. Like it's always in these kind of southern epics or whatever. It's Dubois. And I just love the way it sounds. Zelda Dubois is an amazing name. Mm-hmm. Love that.
I also love a redhead and green.
Yes. Yeah. That very color combination Phoenix. Is really good. I was talking about this week because my cat is an orange cat and I have a green velvet couch and it's awesome.
So she can't, the only way she communicates with the snake is through her dance?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a vocal component.
Probably.
But
hey, snake! Hey, snake!
Yeah, but there's a dance. You can see some of the movements in the image, I suppose.
Oh, she's dancing.
Yeah, that's great.
I thought she was going like, go, snake!
I think it's that, but...
I know, she's like graceful movement dancer.
Does she hiss? No.
Yeah, no.
Not that I know of. Again, Princess Python is a bit of a mystery. You know,
Princess Python's a pretty hilarious name.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
She has more than one pet python.
What?
Says her rapport with her various pet pythons borders on the uncanny. Borders on it.
I wonder the way that sentence goes. I wonder if like some of the snakes die and then, or they look different from story to story, so you have to assume that she has trained several.
So that could just be like a visual mistake.
I wanted to have like a ball python and just have him on his shoulder and around her neck, and it's just like jewelry, but
yes.
Please, because I want one for myself.
Once I was at someone's house that had a snake, and then the snake just sort of climbed on its head and then went through her hair and then got stuck there.
I do not like this story.
It was very complicated to remove the snake afterwards. It was her snake. She was okay with it.
I know, but snake scales and...
I don't want a snake stuck in my hair. They're very soft.
No.
Yeah, but that's all... Like, I almost preferred if they weren't.
It is Medusa vibes.
It's just weird.
It really is.
Is Princess Python hot or not?
Duh! Yes. Hot, for sure.
She's got very large breasts.
Yes.
Yes.
She makes me uncomfortable. Unrelated Why? To her breasts. I just, like...
Is it the snake?
It may be the snake.
Could it possibly be the 20-foot snake?
25-foot snake? Yeah, I think maybe I wouldn't be a fan of the snake.
She's incredibly gorgeous, and I love a little Gerard, yeah.
Gerard.
I decided that it's Gerard.
Gerard way.
Does she sleep with Gerard? Like, not sleep with him, but like cuddle with him at night.
I hope so.
I hope so. Yes. I think so.
They love the warmth.
She has many, so like maybe like there's just like she sleeps on top of several snakes.
And that's
But don't snakes kind of move?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe like on a waterbed, but in snakes.
Oh.
See, you're all like, yay! And I'm like, oh my god.
I feel like we're clearly tired because so far we've talked about beds twice.
It's the most wonderful time of their year. Sorry.
But she also has a pretty face.
She really is.
Yes.
Freaking gorgeous.
Really beautiful.
I want a snake.
Do you?
Oh, I really do.
Really?
Oh, big time.
I'd be okay with like a gecko.
I want a parrot.
I want a break.
Monty Python's a flying circus.
Professor X, Charles Xavier, is a mutant, the most powerful telepath on Earth. And as you probably know, started a school for gifted youngsters as a front to harbor and train young mutants. Before that, he had a pretty exciting life, served in the Korean War, traveled all over the world, becoming friends with Magneto and so on. He lost the use of his legs in Tibet when an alien called Lucifer drops a big rock on him. Now no longer an action hero, he decides to create his school, builds Cerebro, a machine that helps him find and recruit mutants all over the world, and the rest is convoluted X-Men history. If he's standing in this image, it's because for a while, there in the 80s and early 90s, he had gotten a new clone body. Charles is devoted to the preservation of training of mutants, and his ideal is that mutants and humans learn to live in harmony. He appears stern and reserved, but is a very caring mentor. Across 5 pages, he's pictured sending a telepathic message across the world, fighting the Black Queen in his rarely seen costume, and in astral form, for that matter, remembering his backstory.
It's not his past, it's his backstory, you see.
Oh, I should refer to my own past as a backstory.
Yes.
Excellent.
Also in some varied astral action where he's inside someone's mind, I will guess Legion, having a mental duel with Magneto and another with Amal Farouk, an enemy from before the X-Men's time, with his love, Princess Lilandra, using Cerebro, mentally blasting the demon Sin, playing basketball, and mentoring the new mutants.
Basketball.
If there's one thing I didn't expect in the Professor X entry, is him playing basketball. I was not prepared for that.
He lost his legs because of an alien dropped the rock on him. That is...
That's lame.
That is... Lame, really? That's kind of insensitive.
Oh, no! Cut that out!
It's very uninspiring. I feel like any idiot could get his a rock dropped on.
Yeah, at least fall into a vat of suds.
Or like, vat you know, of have a terrible accident that you almost died, but your mind, you know, made you survive or whatever.
It's in Days of Future Past where it's like a bullet that was deflected by Magneto.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a better story.
I have a question.
It's not a story we knew from the beginning. Well, that's, sense, that's, right? That's, it's just something they came up with later because so, you got to give origins to everything.
That was my question, really. So wait. When we start, like, the first X-Men stuff, like, he's already in the chair.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because that, the entry, having him being his clone, does not really...
Just a clone body. It's his own brain. They just grew him a new body.
And they do that in the movies, right? Isn't there, like, a hint of
Well, it's an after-credit scene where he wakes up in the body of a comatose man after on the third terrible X-Men after Jean Grey kills him.
You're right.
Yeah, it's not a clone body.
Okay, in my head it was a clone, but...
But since he's telepathic, he just moved his mind to this other body. And it's all kind of wrapped up with Princess Lilandra and alien technology.
Of course.
Aliens take away your legs, and then aliens give you back your legs.
Well, I love Professor X.
Yeah. I like the story that when they asked Patrick Stewart, it's Patrick Stewart, right? Mm-hmm. When they asked Patrick Stewart to play him and they showed him a comic book, he's like, why am I on a comic book?
That's right.
You already look like it, yeah.
Yeah, it was a perfect casting. And even McAvoy is really good in the role. So they did a good job to portray him in the movies.
Is that what he wears? Like, normally?
Like a trench coat?
The trench coat?
I feel like he's more in a suit.
I don't...
Well, the trench coat is because now he can go outside and take a walk.
I know, but I mean, what does he normally wear?
I feel like he's more like in a suit.
Yeah,
usually. Or like maybe a vest.
Just in a suit in a chair.
Because I feel like that's different and I can't really place why.
I think because the jacket. It's the jacket.
Yeah, it's the jacket. I'm pretty sure
if he didn't have the jacket, I think you wouldn't feel that way.
Black pants and...
But what do you think? What about the short-lived actual costume?
What about it? It's white and there's an X.
Like, whatever.
It's like all of the X-Men costumes. There's an X on it. What is it, yellow?
He's in the astral plane there, right?
Here, no. This is real, but he's, like, Celine can see him because she's telepathic as well.
Oh.
So, but he's a projection. So he's technically in the astral, but we're seeing the real world.
So he's a projection. Mm-hmm. So he could look like whatever what he wanted.
I suppose.
And he picked that costume.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not wearing the costume at home and then...
It's to make sure that people know that I am Xavier, you know?
The X-Man.
The one.
X-Man. That is the reason, right?
Is he...
Because he's Xavier?
Yeah.
That's why they're...
That's why he's Professor X, and that's why they're the X-Men.
Okay.
Yes. So they are the X-Men. He is the X-Man.
Yeah. It's also, and I am the walrus. Play on, it's also a play on chromosomes.
Science.
Genetics.
That makes sense.
I really did enjoy always the, like, opening credits of those first three movies. They were very...
When you go inside of, like, seems like you go inside the cells.
Yeah, and the DNA, and there's a documentary voice. Is it Patrick Stewart?
Patrick Stewart does the first one for sure.
Okay, anyways.
But you're right, there's like...
It's a very fun opening, and as a complete novice when I first had seen them, it was a very good contextualization.
And now you're our X-Men expert.
That's just because I didn't have a lot of video games, but I had we had the X-Men. Two of the X-Men video games.
The games first or the movies first?
Probably. I think movies first, but the first video game, not long after, and then we bought the Apocalypse video game. Professor X is not very involved in any of these video games.
No, probably.
It's not really a speed. He's more of the...
He's the guy in a chair.
I mean, you go visit him. He gives you information.
Nice. Right. He's a talking head. I'm about to ask the question already, I guess.
Well, no. We've got to judge the backstory.
Does he play other sports?
Besides basketball?
He plays games.
He apparently...
Thank you.
Is that him painting? Does he paint?
And he hikes?
Yeah, I think that's Moira McTaggart, so it's probably like past loves.
Oh.
That's some of the stuff you see in the first class stuff.
I do appreciate his, like, motivations. As someone who studied to become a teacher, like, I really appreciate that he was like, we need to help these kids have a safe space, but also the chance to kind of hone their craft. I think that's really nice, and I like it a lot.
What do you think about the fact that he put blocks in Jean Grey's mind?
That's what
she wouldn't become the Phoenix.
That's actually where I was going, because that's his intentions were noble, but sometimes he fucked up.
That was one of those times. So it must be hard because it feels like he has that weight on his shoulder that he has to take care of them and protect them and try to make them the best they can. But at the same time, they're still most of them teenagers and they will do stupid things and you have to be more stern, but it doesn't work. And I don't know.
Boundaries, like deciding for someone else that they shouldn't have access to that is a little like
where's the line, right? Because like if he's in his mind, he's like, I'm going to prevent this horrible thing from happening. So like, is that more important than
having your consent? Wow.
Yeah. Right. That's complicated.
And, yeah. And it's like, if that's okay, well then, you know, if you know someone is going to develop schizophrenia, do you put mental blocks to stop it? Like, what? I don't know.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Like, where is the line?
Yeah. When do you stop messing with people's brains?
Well, in a way, I think that's also credit to his character. Because he could be the perfect person, never making any mistakes and always doing the right thing. But the fact that his death in his character is pretty interesting.
And he could be, like, really horribly evil if he wanted to. Like,
he could really fuck shit up
if he wanted to. So I appreciate it. He seems like a good guy. Like, obviously, he's fucked up, but who hasn't, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's one of the reasons that I like the X-Men, really, is because, like, they feel human.
Racist.
No, you know what I mean? Like, I've always enjoyed, like, I really like a villain that you can kind of understand what their motivations are and stuff like that. I feel like the X-Men are good at that, at least in the movies. I don't know.
Yeah, Magneto, they technically have the same idea when you think about Professor X and Magneto. They all want to protect mutants. They just have more extreme way of doing it. Mm-hmm. And that's where their friendship makes sense. Mm-hmm. And the falling apart makes it even more tragic.
Yeah, because, like, they're both, like, trying to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Just in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Don't you usually hate people that have powers that can make you believe things that aren't there?
Yeah, I don't love that. But so, yes, that is a part of this that I don't like.
He's also a smoker.
Yeah, not a fan of smoking.
And it's a basketball player.
but it's a pipe, so it makes him look like a detective.
If you're going to smoke something, have it be a pipe. This is just cool.
Isn't it worse in terms of smell? Oh,
probably.
I was going to say, like, if you're going to smoke something, have it be a ham.
Okay. But I guess, like, because his intentions are noble, it doesn't bother me as much. A lot of the, like, the mind-bending things, people are, like, villains. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, often in, like, an evil way where they're, like, presenting your fears and shit like that. Like, he, at least most of the time, I think, is trying his best to do the right thing. So it doesn't bother me as much in this context.
Every time I've seen it, it felt more like a communication.
Yeah, he would communicate.
Yeah, like he would have this debate with the person in their own mind to try and calm them down or something like that.
But, I don't think you would love it.
No, for sure. I'm not saying it's pleasant.
I would finally hear a voice in my mind. Oh!
Well, just like in a dream.
Oh, okay.
But it's Professor X.
Is it Patrick Stewart playing Professor X?
If you want Patrick Stewart, it is Patrick Stewart.
You can be sure that if Josie was here, she would say, like, no. It's McAvoy.
But I want honestly, Patrick Stewart because Patrick Stewart comes with Hugh Jackman.
He comes with.
Why?
He's in the movie. What first one?
He was also in.
Yeah, he's in both.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman is in all of them.
All of them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Every single one of them?
Well, I mean, if Wolverine is in it.
I really like their like
the rapport.
Yes.
But like I remember clearly that scene where they want to recruit him as McAvoy and Fassbender and he's just like, no, fuck you.
He's an animal. Yeah.
I like Wolverine. When do we get to Wolverine?
On a long
W is very far away.
W.
Oh, we're in the peas.
Where are they here in these panels?
Somebody's mind.
Yeah. I don't understand anything that's going on.
I think it's Legion's mind, so
You know that there's a wall that someone created and that he needs to surpass.
Okay.
And
they're like also when you build walls to protect yourself.
And they're also frying eggs.
Yes, it's very important.
And lava.
You know what it is? It looks like a mixed from like a 90s screensaver. Yes. And 100%. Like, and like that,
there's not gonna be a ball that's gonna be bouncing. Yeah, around.
And it's that ball right there. Mm. And, that, PSA, I can put my arm back on. You can't.
Yes.
Oh god. This is what's happening here for me.
Is Professor X hot or not?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, hot. And people who have played him are also hot. So that's a fun bonus.
He's like not problematic enough for my taste.
He's too sweet.
I don't know. What would be toxic about our relationship? What's
in that? Maybe he'll try to fix, you know, your mind, and that's what's gonna be toxic.
Mind reading. Yeah.
Yeah. Make it toxic.
You can. make any relationship toxic if you try hard enough.
Hashtag stay toxic. I feel like he's a father figure, but in a healthy way, and that's really turning me off.
Okay. I will admit, I'm not sure that I would want to date Professor X. He seems like, oh, like that cool professor that you, like, have heart-to-hearts with and stuff. Like, yeah. He feels more like that than dateable to me.
Yeah, maybe it's a little too parental.
Yeah.
In a healthy way.
Yeah, I wish the main picture, he was actually in his chair, though. I feel like that's kind of a cop-out.
Ohadu always tries to show you the character as they are now.
And I don't like that.
No.
Rather than the iconic. And I agree with you.
I'm going to write letters because I don't like that.
Because we also had the same issue with Magneto.
The editor has since passed away, so.
Okay, get me a Ouija board.
I just noticed the belt.
Yeah, the belt is fun. I would wear that.
You gotta get that X in there somewhere.
Honestly, of course. I would wear that. If I could just get a belt with the X symbol on it, hell yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it exists.
Oh, it must.
I wish the trench coat wasn't so green.
I wish the trench coat wasn't the same color as the pipe.
I wish it was longer.
Yeah.
I wish she was tastefully nude.
Okay, but I wonder. He's hairless on his head, but is he hairless everywhere?
I will say, like, he really rocks the bald.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, yeah. Because the guy before, I don't even remember his name.
I was like, Primus.
Primus.
There you go.
Primus is a car.
There's hair. It's not alopecia. Yeah, he's got eyebrows. Right.
But it's like, oh, is boring. But this guy is bald, and I'm like, yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Some people, it just really works for them, and it always really works for him. Yeah.
But see, you said something about like hair elsewhere, and then I'm just like,
what if he's just like fully woolly?
As often happens.
But, like, I don't imagine him being a hairy man under his suit.
Me neither. No, but I mean, no, his own projection of himself seems pretty hairless, right?
Wait, oh, is he supposed to be naked?
Is he
naked
there? Supposed to be very naked, yes.
Oh!
Look at what Magneto is touching.
Oh!
Why?
He's like, no, I need to hide his balls. I don't want to see his balls.
My only
He's like really jacked.
In his mind.
In his mind.
Yeah. You know what? If I could project myself, I'd also be jacked.
Just have abs.
Yeah. Why is he transparent here? What's going on here?
This is mine.
What's going on in any panel in this?
Minds. It's projections of minds. And both telepaths are
projecting
their souls out of their bodies.
Is it them? Like the people that are sitting there?
Amal Farouk is the guy with the fez, so he's projecting a version of himself that isn't morbidly obese. And then Professor X is the other guy, is projecting himself as jacked.
Excellent.
Why wouldn't you, right?
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
Project yourself as jacked. Or project yourself as Hugh Jackman. Also a good option. Yeah.
No, you should start like a meme page for motivational posters.
Project yourself as Hugh Jackman. Who's going to stop you?
Yeah.
I would like to know if someone knows when and how he's playing basketball. Do we know which issue that happens in?
I don't know, but it has to be around this time.
And I need panels of other sports.
Yeah.
That's your
homework for today.
But it's not actually homework. I've just learned that when we say, I wonder if there's a time, people usually find it. So thank you, people.
It is really nice.
Is his power normally like
yellow?
Shown as like a stream of light that's coming from his forehead?
They do effects. They're invisible to people, but they're visible to readers, so we know that what's going on.
Okay.
Yeah. You have to have some indication.
Who's that person in the group picture that's not wearing the uniform?
Professor X.
No, in the background.
Yes, I remember her. She's not a mutant. I think she was like a friend. Maybe like
it was bring a friend to a mutant school
day. Like a physical trainer or something?
I
forget now.
I don't know if it's worse when, like, you show up to a party wearing the same thing as someone else, or if you show up being the only person not wearing the X-Men outfit.
Imagine showing up to a party and everyone's wearing the exact same dress except you. Like, you're getting sacrificed.
I have seen, like, a thing that some people have been doing online where...
Yes!
They, like, buy an outfit for, like, their boyfriends or their husbands, and they're like, you wear this tonight. And then every woman does this, so then as time goes on, like, every guy is showing up in the exact same outfit.
You could tell that they were all new because you could still see the, like, the fold lines on the shirt. But they were all wearing a white shirt that had really tiny, like, chicken leg on them for Thanksgiving. It was mwah.
Guys. If I get married again, everyone's wearing a wedding dress except me.
That's amazing.
Can I just wear my wedding dress? Nice.
Mutants. Since the discovery of their existence, they have been regarded with fear, suspicion, often hatred. Across the planet, debate rages. Are mutants the next link in the evolutionary chain? Or simply a new species of humanity fighting for their share of the world? Either way, it is an historical fact. Sharing the world has never been humanity's defining attribute.
Project Pegasus.
Uh-huh.
You Pegasus. Said it wrong. Project Pegasus.
Project Pegasus.
Project Pegasus.
Yeah, they're
why is there such a full stop for a colon?
So it's like, project, the project is... Pegasus.
Project Pegasus. Pegasus stands for Potential Energy Group / Alternate Sources / United States.
Wow. Oh my god, I love it! I've been in government too long.
They really worked for that one.
Yes.
And it is an enormous research facility located in Mount Athena in upstate New York, mm-hmm. secretly extending into the mountain. Its original goal was to find alternative sources of energy, which veers into science fiction because this is a superhero universe. But it also has been used as a prison for superpowered criminals. Several heroes have served terms working security at the facility, including The Thing and Quasar. Project Pegasus's logo is a horse's head, and here we have the standard uniform employees wear, and all of the heads. Dr. Myron Wilburn, the administrative director, Dr. Margaret Mayfair, director of marketing, Dr. Ensign Harkov, director of research, Quasar, who was the head of security for a while, guardsmen, same thing, and later all the security at Project Pegasus wore the guardsmen armors, I believe, Dr. Henry Sorrell, head of the compound, which is the name of the prison, and Dr. Janine O'Connell, psychotherapist. On the second page, there we get diagrams of the project's above ground or public facilities and below ground or secret operations. Note the living modules with the different names, Miami Beach, Dullsville, Sunday Times. That's where the 1,000 employees live. Everything is connected through super fast transit tunnels that they call the loop. So that's why it doesn't really look like a building or anything. Just imagine there's a mountain, there's rock all around this.
That would be so inefficient to get from one place to another.
Zoom! But it is fun.
Zoom tube.
Zoom tube.
I sincerely read butthole instead of bolt hole.
Yes.
It's an underground lab thing.
It feels like a spine.
But why would you call the living module Dullsville?
I think the employees name the places.
Oh no!
So
this boring.
That
place
was boring. And then, yeah.
And the Sunday Times was what? Investigative journalism?
I have no idea.
Well, Miami Beach makes no sense. You have nothing like a Miami Beach.
Miami Beach makes sense, where you're like, you want to feel like you're at Miami Beach. I get that.
Yeah, but what could possibly be in there? It's inside a mountain.
But at least it's a place. Sunday Times is not a place.
What, did they just like paint the sun on the wall? Like what?
But fill with newspaper?
I'm just going to stay at Dog Patch and hang out with doggos. That's all.
Actually, to be honest, I'd probably be in Lower Slobovia.
Can I just keep zooming around in the Zoom tube?
That just sounds like... It's just your Zoom meeting on YouTube.
Oh my god, that sounds like a kid's show that's on Zoom. ZoomTube. I wish, like, Magma Tap was like a bar.
I think it's an energy.
Yeah, I know, but...
Yeah, they study different energies, and then that's why they have villains there in prison, because I think those villains have superpowers that can be experimented on or so studied as a power source.
Are they, like, good, though? I can't seem to determine if they're a force for good or not.
They feel not so good, right?
Yeah.
But the fact that Quasar and Guardsmen work there, the thing...
Yeah, but everyone makes mistakes.
Yes, I suppose it's a good place, and then there's like, oh no, this scientist in the group did something.
Right. But wasn't Pegasus a part of the MCU, the project already, or am I remembering wrong?
You may be right.
That feels familiar.
I feel like someone definitely said in a very serious tone, like, oh, this is Project Pegasus.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then we never
saw. Oh, yeah, it's Captain Marvel. It's in Captain Marvel. I don't know what it is in Captain Marvel, maybe... but I remember them naming Pegasus in that movie.
Maybe it's a thing that we'll find out, like, in the next Captain Marvel or something.
Marvel Cinematic Universe. Yeah, there's something. They got a better logo.
That's the facility where she comes after and she
I don't remember.
Captain Marvel. Yeah.
Like, oh my god, you have a good memory.
In the aftermath of the battle, the World Security Council and S.H.I.E.L.D. reactivate Pegasus to continue their attempts at harnessing the power of the Tesseract.
Right, right. Fucking Tesseract. Right.
If Pegasus is your mascot, why is your logo just a horse's head? That's not what's special about a Pegasus.
And it's not even good. it's like too much and too little of a horse.
It feels like a bit T-Rexy.
It looks like the Jurassic Park logo, but it's a horse. You're totally right.
Oh no. It feels like, you know, that in like cowboy cartoons, there's the old horse that's like just really not very efficient. He feels like he'd be the old horse hanging around, commenting ironically about Jules.
Being a character.
Yeah.
How about that work uniform?
That I also have questions about that.
I mean, the pants are really poofy. They're very loose. At the ankle. It's really weird, but like the panties on top of the pants are really tight. The
panties. And then there's the black detail that points the crotch. What's not to love?
I mean, there is a bulge adjacent. I don't know. It's hard to tell if it's just fabric drape or what.
Is the fabric drape just so that they only have to make one size?
Yeah. Cheap. I feel like the loose part feels like it's plastic.
Oh, God.
You know, like that shiny, like, and plasticky. Like,
crinkly. Like,
it's just like...
Yes, because nothing says efficient security like, I'm coming.
I will say, there's something really funny to me, imagine, like, because it's the standard administrative uniform, like the person doing the accounts is always. That's very funny to me. Like,
I like the blue, though. That's a nice blue.
I do like blue on gray on black / midnight blue.
Yeah. It's fun that it's not, like, just one color, because it definitely could have been, like, just, like, generic whatever.
Yeah. But, like, imagine, like, smash that very bad horse design on this uniform.
Yeah, what you don't realize is the entire back is that logo.
Everyone that works here has had this tattooed on their entire back.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
You know what I'll say about Janine O'Connell? I should say doctor. She earned it.
She earned it.
I don't know why, but I feel like they always give therapists or psychotherapists or whatever a side ponytail.
Yeah, you're right.
And thick rimmed glasses.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, that's basically their Harley Quinn.
I guess.
Is Harley Quinn a psychotherapist?
Yeah, she's.
Really?
Yeah.
She was the Joker's therapist.
And then she fell
in love with him.
Yeah.
And then fell in some vat of thing.
Maybe.
Oh, there's a lot of... Wow.
Yeah. Well, it is the ultimate toxic relationship.
Yes.
Indeed.
Yeah.
But I feel like they always style therapists like that.
Yes, with a side ponytail.
Why? What is that?
I feel like the way that she looks is very, like in the, like, 80s, 90s, where it's like, oh, we have to have, like, a smart character, but we still want her to be, like, a solid babe, you know? They all kind of look like this, where it's like, you know.
Oh, we put glasses on her, so oh, she's yeah. ugly now.
Exactly. Oh, and now she looks like a scientist. Sure, whatever, you know?
I will also say that Dr. Margaret Mayfair being the director of marketing. Come on.
It's a lot of M's.
Also, also, I wish that she was a head scientist and yes, one of the guys exactly. could do marketing.
But what is she a doctor of?
Marketing.
Okay. Now, she probably has a science background as well. Yes. It's just she happens to be the director of marketing.
But what, any what of are my you? Colleagues actually have science degrees, and I'm just here going like...
But this is a secret facility. What is she marketing?
Partly... There is a public version part okay. of it.
What do they oh, do okay. with the public?
Okay, wait, first, well, before you explain that, I need to say that I keep imagining this like as a plate and the administrative buildings are sandwiches. Yes.
Okay,
and
well.
The optical observatory is the drink.
No, you see, I saw the optical observatory as a dick and the balls.
I also saw penis.
Yeah, that's what I thought you'd see immediately. But they do look like sandwiches or cake.
Yeah,
I totally see it.
And
yes.
the supply domes are melons. So, you know?
No, well, that's a man who knows a woman in need. Like, you need a lunch while we, you know, you can also give me a
dick. Sandwiches. Balls, sandwiches. He's got it all.
See, I was seeing sandwiches, rocket ship, light bulbs.
Oh. This is a weird
Rorschach test.
So the public face of Project Pegasus, I mean, it is a governed project, so it is, it's on the books. People know it exists, but they think it's energy research. There's probably people that work in those particular buildings that don't know anything about the rest.
What is the whistle at the end?
It's the pit.
The pit. The
pit. It's the nuclear waste disposal
station. I feel like there's a lot of places you could send unwieldy employees.
The pit. Rocket slit escape tubes.
Oh, God.
If there were more than one Project Pegasus.
Yeah.
Projects yeah. Pegasi? Is that what you're going for?
Pegasi or Pegasus's?
Pegasi.
It is Pegasi, unless but it would actually be, grammatically, it would be Projects Pegasus.
Oh.
Because it's P-E, it's an acronym.
Right. Stupid acronym.
But if they were sister
okay,
projects?
But if it was not in the U.S., but in Israel?
Pegasus?
Yeah.
And if it was really bad, it would be Pegasus.
Project Pegasus. Hot or... Pegasus or Pegasuck?
I'm confused more than I don't really Hold know on. How to rate this because I'm still not convinced that this is a good thing.
I know? Just realized they have a doctorate in marketing person and that's the logo.
Yeah, truly.
He said she probably had a science background, which I believe.
And what? Paint?
Yeah, no, MS like paint. In biology?
No. She has a science background and paint.
Oh, my clip
art.
Yeah.
Well, it is 1980-something.
So, she's a biologist. And they're like, well, you're the biologist.
You know horses.
You've seen a horse before, yes?
It's just like, so, yeah.
So, draw a logo. There you go. Director of marketing.
Maybe she couldn't remember if Pegasuses have wings or not. It's just like, I won't take a chance.
Why does it not have
Maybe it's just like, a source.
Okay, I have a question about Pegasus.
Okay.
Horses have hair. Correct. Wings are made of feathers.
Yes. Right. A Pegasus has both.
Yes.
It just kind of sticks out of the hair, its feathers.
Are they born out of eggs?
I don't like this.
Yes.
They are born out of eggs.
Yes.
I like that you say that in certain way. Like, of course is that as right. a, of course they're born
so
out of
eggs. As a long time game master.
Do they hoof kick the shell?
I would say yes. Well, of course.
Oh my god.
Just like hoof kick the shell.
Just like a bird uses their beak. A horse
Very cool.
uses his
Okay, wings. But you couldn't live birth wings.
Exactly. Yeah, you could. No. Of course, well, if you were pointed the right way.
Yes, but what if you're not?
Yeah, and I mean, they still can, like, spread and get stuck.
Yeah, that's hard, like, on the mare. No, the eggs.
have you ever seen a newborn, like, eggs. A newborn horse?
Okay, but the horse still needs to lay an egg.
Yeah, that's the thing. How would the horse lay an egg without it breaking upon falling down?
I mean, that's a nest. That's why we have a doctor of biology on staff.
We're just diving to catch these eggs.
A bunch of trampolines are there.
They don't shit the eggs out from the sky. You know?
They control when they lay it?
They put them in the Zoom tube.
You know what's funny in all that? There is absolutely no Pegasus in this facility.
No.
It's an acronym.
You want a freaking shitty acronym? I'm gonna hold you to it, bitch. And this is a lot of pent up resentment from work.
I think I'm gonna say hot, even though, like, that's weird. I think I'm gonna say hot because I find it funny. I think the building is really ridiculous and funny, and I appreciate that they've actually determined who's in charge of marketing. That's funny to me. So I'm gonna say hot.
I agree. And all of the people look like people.
Standards are so low.
Guardsman does look like the Grinch with a helmet.
Yes, it's just like normal people.
There's no fish-like character. Usually there's a fish-like character with scales or something.
Yeah, and most offices have a fish-like character.
Ensign Harkov looks like he's very angry, though.
They all look kind of angry. Dr. Wilburn kind of looks like Vincent Price a little bit.
They have government jobs, you know.
Yeah.
I'm gonna nod it. Because it really feels to me like they're, like, villains and doing things they shouldn't. So I'm just gonna nod it. Just to be on the safe side.
Yeah.
But I like our...
Have we seen Margaret Mayfair before?
No.
She's very familiar.
Are all Pegasi's white?
No, I think they're black Pegasus. No.
Yeah, I've seen different. Like,
personally, you've seen.
The only other one.
I think they could be any color. My Little Pony says all colors.
Could there be a white Pegasus with black wings?
Why not? I'd love that.
Why not?
But maybe they could be like pigeons. You know how pigeons are something like a gray and white?
Or like a tabby Pegasus.
Oh, yeah, well, like imagine a Mustang with all his patches, but with wings. So the feathers would be different colors as well.
Okay, you said not Mustang, the car. And I was like...
Imagine a car with feathers. And then it has feathers and it becomes a horse.
All right, we're way off. So you said yes or no, it is. Hot or not? Very good. Cycle Man, a cruel, sadistic scientist from the Microverse, which is the quantum dimension you access when you shrink down to subatomic size. Cycle Man ruled this particular system. When his worlds became overpopulated, he decided to conquer worlds at the macro level, i.e. Earth, which put him in conflict with the Fantastic Four. But to do this, he built a macro-sized battle suit, which he pilots from within. He also has a 200-foot version for kaiju action. In fact, he often shows up as a remotely controlled robot, so he never puts himself in danger. His chief weapon, however, is his emotion control box, which it can be set to fear, doubt, and hate in order to control large groups of people, which is powerful enough to affect an entire planet's population.
Oh, jeez!
No!
Pictured zapping the FF with emotions, making the thing cower in a smashed apartment, showing off his control box, and drawing of the device.
It's like the evil live, laugh, love.
Fear, doubt, hate.
Oh my god, I want it.
So in that font, yes.
Yes.
Oh god, yes, in my kitchen, please.
Kind of looks like a tape player.
So wait, you're saying that this is the macro size suit, but he's microscopic inside controlling it?
Yes, but if you're in the microverse, he looks exactly like this. That's the real him.
Okay, but
I'm imagining this like in Men in Black.
Right, Men in Black, like the guy who pilots the...
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, but why is he a Fantastic Four villain?
Why
and not?
Not
an Ant-Man villain?
Ant-Man couldn't go micro.
Oh, not yet. Okay, that's
in the movies. In the movies, they do that, but that's really an Atom thing. Okay. So in the comics, they didn't. So he's really a cosmic threat with other dimensions, and so that's Fantastic Four territory.
So is the Macroverse here?
We're the Macroverse.
And the Microverse, is it in the macro?
Well, what it seems to be is that, you know, when you shrink down,
when you shrink down to
molecules and electrons are spinning around, which is not actually what happens, but...
What do you mean it's not actually what happens? What else would it be?
It is a cloud of probability. So, but in the old model, you got electrons spinning around protons and neutrons.
So he's between the electrons, just kind of
imagine the electrons are planets. Spinning around a sun. That's what it looks like, but that's absurd. So,
but is it here or there?
So the microverse is, if you shrink down,
is in the macroverse. Okay.
Like within your molecules is the microverse, and there's this like people
and
living on.
Overpopulated? Shit.
His particular system, because between atoms, there's like immense space.
I hate it.
People are out here giving us maps of New York and not explaining that.
I feel like I should call my brother. He splits photons with lasers and weighs them. I'm sure he has something to say.
Yeah. So the microverse.
Phone a friend.
The reason they say microverse like it's another dimension is that it is absurd that people will be living inside your molecules, because then you could just destroy the object. And then they'd all be dead, which is not the case.
But no, but you can't destroy a molecule.
Of course you can destroy a molecule.
Well, not...
You just said your brother splits them up.
No.
Destroys the constituents.
No, but like you can't... No.
Yes.
Well, I know.
What do you think happens in a nuclear explosion?
Nuclear, but that's a very bad thing. I mean, in everyday life.
We're not saying...
if I have a molecule of water...
Yeah. Well, the molecule of water, you can transform it. You know, it can be transformed. Imagine living on that molecule, and then it turns into vapor, and it's
becomes
super fast. But that's
still H2. That's still water, though.
Suddenly, your planet's spinning out of control.
Yeah, but it's still the same.
Well, I'm not going to survive that, so...
Well, I don't care if you survive or not. I'm just saying.
I do. So, yeah, if I'm on the planet, I care. But anyways, so the point is that when you shrink down to the, what they call the quantum verse in the movies?
Yeah.
Yeah. When you shrink down so tiny, you just access this other world.
But okay, what's important is his suit sucks.
Mm-hmm. And,
yes, let's talk about important things.
He should
the tubes.
He should use the doubt option on himself when looking at the suit to realize how bad it is.
It makes me kind of sad almost because, like, parts of it are cool. But parts of it suck.
What are the parts?
Well, I like the color combination. I kind of like even, like, the waist. I think that's kind of a cool detail.
Kind of
like
corset line?
Yeah, and like the top, even the top part, I don't mind so much. It's just the tubes are so bizarre.
I don't hate the tubes.
I don't understand why there are tubes. Well,
are they like... I don't know why my mind went there, but you know those socks they put on women after they got the epidural?
Like that's compression socks?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You mean like that diabetes?
Well, not diabetes. They're like super long and super weird because
it's a blood clot.
Yes, that's what it is. Yeah, it's a look.
I just kind of wish they weren't on his feet. I think if they were just on his leg and not on his feet, I wouldn't mind it as much. It's the feet part that's weird.
You know what's weird actually about it is that it's not something that moves. So when he walks, it stays in place. So it must like hurt on front of his...
Although it doesn't, because he's tiny.
Yeah.
So it's like, whatever.
Maybe he rocks really robotically.
But, like, that would be really fun to recreate.
Yes.
I wish the tubes were, like, throughout, actually.
This would be a fun cosplay, for sure. Mm-hmm. Especially with the giant, weird, doubt hate prop.
Jesus. I like this version where it's red.
It's so funny because it's like, it's so comically large fonted.
Yeah.
It feels like
it's just to make sure that he doesn't fuck up, you know? Because, like, but, why would it need to be so, like, clear?
But even if he did fuck up, what would... It would still be bad for us.
I know, it's bad all
around. I wanted everyone to hate, but now they doubt.
Does he ever upgrade with more negative emotions?
I wish.
Frustration.
I think it'd be interesting. Anxiety. It's very blunt.
Loathing.
I want to see the comic where they learn about him. Like, it's not the first time they fight him, so they decide to create their own version of this dial pad. And it's like, love, courage, ambition, I don't know.
Where do you think live, laugh, love comes from?
That's true.
It's the housewife equivalent of, like, his nemesis.
I like to think that in his house he has a bunch of, like, word art, you know? Just plastered all over the walls, everywhere. There's, like, a different quote about cooking or something.
So is that supposed to, like, I know it's not his face, but does his face look like that?
Oh, it's not his face.
No, because he's tiny.
But he looks like that in that dimension.
Yeah, he also looks like that, but it also kind of looks like a mask, like a metal mask at the same time. So the fact that it's another dimension gives you a lot of license to say, well, people kind of look different or have weird fashions or...
You know, in this, the bottom panel here, what emotion are they going through right there?
Is it fear or doubt?
I don't know. Fantastic Four dude looks like he's melting.
Mr. Fantastic looks full of doubt.
Crushing down!
Yeah, crushing down. It's a bubble. Like, it's interesting to, like, because these emotions are, like, so easily interconnected. It must be kind of a weird challenge to, like, okay, we're really drawing doubt and not fear.
Well, I mean, doubt would be more the inner monologue that you would read.
I think that's kind of interesting.
I feel like doubt is what happened when we tried to play D&D. We're like, all of us were just doubting every single little thing. Should we tell him? Should we be honest? Well, I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't be honest.
Okay, so doubt is me trying to decide what I order.
Yeah.
To take out.
Oh, God. I know what I'm craving now. What will I crave at 20 minutes?
Well, when you order food, you go through all of these.
Doubt.
Hate.
Why did I pick this? Ugh.
100%.
But it is kind of like a cool concept. Can you press all three at the same time?
I don't know what would happen.
You could make combos.
Combo.
Like it's like a bop it. The ear.
Down.
Hey!
So I imagine he has a new machine and he recently used, like, exhaustion, more of a state than an emotion, but the fact that everyone I know is exhausted, like, it's his fault. I decided.
Yeah. I mean, I believe it.
Does he have a personality?
I said cruel and sadistic.
Nice. So of course Elise will like him.
He's not nice. No, I'm watching too much SVU. And
come on, Elise. Sadistic. He has pipes.
He has pipes.
Like, he's clear.
Great singer.
Yeah, great singing voice.
Clearly
imagine
toxic.
This dude. I like the best singer.
No, there's a difference between, like, hot toxic and, like, scary toxic. Mm-hmm. He's scary toxic.
Yes, I agree.
Psycho Man, hot or not?
No,
not. I don't even like his name, Psycho Man.
Yeah. Psycho Man, fear, doubt, or hate?
I hate him. I hate him.
That's the real choice.
Right.
Hate.
Okay.
Fear, that's the weapon of the enemy. Doubt, killing dreams so we'll never be. Hate is separating our communities. That's why we keep the hope alive in you and me.
Art credits Primus by Alex Saviuk, Princess Python by Brett Blevins, Professor X by Bob Wysek, Project Pegasus, Tom Morgan and Elliot R. Brown, Psycho Man by John Byrne.
In 2011, the Irredeemable Shag and Aqua Rob Kelly teamed up to create the Fire and Water podcast. In 2016, they teamed up with Ryan Daly, The Franklins, and Siskoid to form the Fire and Water Podcast Network. A network built on teaming up needs a show about team-ups.
Marvel Team-Up.
Yes.
The Brave and the Bold?
You know it.
Marvel 2-in-1.
It's clobbering time.
DC Comics presents.
Of course.
Supervillain team up?
Good idea.
Youngblood X-Force?
Technically.
FW Team Up, only from the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
Crossbat!
Female bag!
Woo!
Comments on episode 87. Polaris, Professor, Possessor, Power Broker, Power Man, and Power Pack. We start with Polaris. Eric says, regarding the comments on Polaris's costume and all its unusual elements, the pseudo fishnets, the boob bug, etc. The real world explanation is that she was designed by Dave Cockrum. In universe, the costume was given to her by an agent of the alien Shi'ar Empire, and it reflected their culture's fashion sense. Similar design elements can be seen in the costumes of the Imperial Guard and Lilandra.
Ooh, wow.
Dr. Ange thinks the costume feels a little Clea-esque.
Yeah.
So that's like peanut butter and Nutella. Amazing. I also think that her dating Havoc was another point for her, as I always identified a little with him. He always seemed to be putting himself down and not thinking he belonged.
Aww.
Oh, I'll say that she's hot. I wasn't there, so okay. Hot.
If Polaris was into him, maybe young Ange had a chance. My own narrator voice, he didn't. Mike Dinah says, I really enjoyed how she was portrayed as not being into a superhero all the time, and I liked it when she wasn't in costume, just civvies. And Nicholas Ahlhelm says, this is still one of her best looks ever, and she's still a criminally underused character. Possessor! Travis Morgan says, love the girls and their observations. Siskoid's not bad either. The lion on top of the Possessor's staff looks like Pete Puma from the Looney Tunes cartoons. What a question you asked about, doesn't it look familiar? Mm. You broke Chris Franklin. Says, again, the girls make me think things that as a comic fan, I never thought of before. Why do these characters always keep wearing ragged clothes? Why not change them, or at least cut off the tattered parts? I'll never be able to unsee that again. Mike Dinah says, his rune staff? Don't you mean his ventriloquist dummy for his one-man show? I can just picture his left thumb is on a hinge to make the lion's mouth move up and down. Also, he seems to be wearing a spiky ankle monitor. What did he do at the university to require home arrest? And Captain Entropy says, Siskoid and the Hot Squad's comments regarding the corporate and academic worlds were highlights of the episode. Mm. You're also doing a good job on pacing. Polaris and Power Man are obvious hots. I want to hear all the points the ladies bring out, but we don't have to deliberate forever, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't always feel like that, Captain Entropy. Power Broker, which is the very, that half page of nothing.
That's
the Eric says, at the time of the entry, they hadn't yet revealed the identity of the actual Power Broker running the organization. When Mark Gruenwald finally showed the man behind the company, it was Curtis Jackson, an organized crime boss who had previously appeared in issues of Machine Man and Captain America as an agent of the criminal organization known as the Corporation.
Oof.
It's just generic to generic. I think Gruenwald intended it to be a surprise that the Power Broker was an established Marvel villain, but considering that he had always been a generic man in a suit in all his appearances, it wasn't a particularly memorable twist. He was eventually killed by the Punisher, but a new Power Broker took over the role.
Wow.
Also similar man in a suit.
So they really learned their lesson.
So the MCU did that better.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Power Man. Mike W. says, I seem to recall seeing a mention of Luke Cage's shirts being made of silk in some comics, so they probably would have a certain sheen to them.
Ooh.
I was like, why would you do silk and then a metal belt?
Chain
metal. I'm soft but hard.
Yeah.
Baron Byte says, every issue in his early run, he always loses his shirts for some reason. And Dr. Ench says, the live-action Luke did wear this getup briefly in the series after he escapes and just grabs some clothes off a clothesline. In real life, it looks ridiculous. Chris Franklin says, he looks like a turnaround for an action figure. Where's the cocky confidence, the swagger? But the bulge, well, as Siskoid pointed out, he's based on the blaxploitation characters of the time. And who was the greatest blaxploitation character?
Chef!
Shut your mouth.
Oh.
And finally, Eric says, interesting that you were disappointed that Luke Cage's superhero name, Power Man, was so generic. For the first 16 issues of his series, he didn't use a superhero name. He simply called himself Luke Cage, and the series was titled Luke Cage, Hero for Hire. He took the code name in issue 17. The change was probably dictated as a marketing decision to boost the comic sales by making it more obvious that it was a superhero title, and writer Len Wein seemed to acknowledge it by making it a marketing decision on Cage's part. Disappointed that his deeds weren't getting as much attention as other heroes, Cage began this issue by wondering what the other guys had that he didn't.
A man.
And he decided that he needed a code name. He couldn't decide on a name initially, but towards the end of the issue, when the villain expressed surprise that Cage had survived the villain's attack, Luke quipped, "Just chuck it up to Black Power, man." Immediately after saying that, Luke decided he'd found his superhero name.
Okay. Well, I like it more now.
So it's Black Power. He's Black Power, man.
I like that more now.
Yeah, that's better.
I wish there was no space between power and man.
Powerman.
Yeah,
Powerman.
As for Power Pack, is the last one. Mike W. says, yeah, Power Pack kept having their names and powers switched, and I think Alex eventually ended up getting all the powers of his siblings and calling himself Power Packs. P-A-X.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
It didn't last.
Why not Power Palix at this point?
Power Palix. Rick of Unpacking the Power of Power Pack unsurprisingly says, Power Pack is very badass. I love that you had a friend that mocked Power Pack and then realized that it was a great book, but then you had to use the narration from the oh my fucking god horrible unreleased Power Pack pilot in my edit. And yes, of course, I used the clip from the pilot of the Power Pack TV show in the episode. A lot of people had questions about it. I don't have an exact date for you as when it came out, except it was in 1991, but it was apparently shown on the Disney Channel / Disney XD. You can find it in its entirety on YouTube. It is terrible.
I was going to say not on Disney Plus.
Yeah. And it uses some sort of Danny Elfman music, and I think it's repurposed. Somebody thought it might be Edward Scissorhands. Check it out.
Oh, God.
All right. And we also have comments about the wedding special.
Yeah.
We haven't done a proper Ohatmu in a while. So everyone who commented, of course, congratulated Nat on her nuptials.
Thank you.
And many came in to tell their own wedding-related stories. So shout out to Gene Hendricks, Mike W., Tim Price, and Bucky749. But if we stick to the superhero weddings in terms of comments, first the X-Men's. Travis Morgan says, the girls made me laugh when they mentioned a chair dance with Professor X. Obviously, they have never been to a gentleman's club, as that has a bit of connotation.
That's true.
That was intended.
And Dr. Ange, I nodded knowingly when I heard Siskoid got choked up over the comic. It is odd when geeky things will somehow impact an individual. I have been there plenty of times. It doesn't happen to me a lot in comics, but any given Star Trek movie. As for Superman's wedding, some, like Travis Morgan, took me to task for not explaining that the grimacing woman in a blazer at the fitting.
Ugh, that face.
What?
Oh, yeah.
It's a person, so now I feel bad.
Yeah, that's Jeanette Kahn, who was the publisher of DC Comics from 1976 to 2002, the most powerful woman in comics.
I feel bad about it, but, like, I think after you said that, like, I thought about it, and I think...
Well, it's supposed to like a caricature.
You can dislike the caricature. That's not a problem.
I think it's just jarring in the comic because no one else looks like that.
Yeah.
And it's just, there's this random woman that has a completely different vibe and it's jarring. I think that's why it struck us so weird.
Yeah, I did talk about how the issue was full of DC employees before the recording. Remember that?
Yeah.
But it wasn't relevant to the wedding per se. So in the show... The show was already going a bit long.
Really?
Yeah, so we skipped it on air. Lizanne Oswald, who thoroughly dissected the fashions in both comics, would just imagine our friend and Superman expert Michael Bailey screaming into his iPod when you called Superman's hairstyle a mullet. He's got a big problem with it. But see, Mike, I mean, people who don't know, you know, first-time readers, they didn't get that impression from nothing, you know. Maybe it is a mullet.
Except our eyes and
our braids.
Anyway, before we go, we have to mention the Fire and Water Podcast Network Patreon page at patreon.com/FW Podcast. If you like our content, please think about making a one-time or monthly donation, the amount of which will allow you to unlock rewards, like getting on our hot list and get the girls to throw a custom compliment at you. We're going to do things differently for a while, rather than pick a theme for the compliments, because it's like... Plants again, magnetism again.
It's always the same, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to instead favorably compare our patrons to the entries we covered.
Ah.
First off, Eric.
Just like Princess Python, you have good moves.
Oh, nice. Okay, all right.
Okay, all right.
You've set the tone.
No, that was the high point.
Push that rock downhill for Gene Hendricks.
Gene Hendricks, just like Primus, you are the first to be culturally intelligent.
The first. That's better than what I was going to say. I was just going to be like, there's an X there. So Professor X.
That's amazing.
Oh, yuck. Okay, Mike Dynas.
You are memory foam.
Is that a compliment?
I don't know. He's cozy.
Okay.
And he has a good memory.
Hmm.
Yes.
All right.
You remember us, and you are cozy.
And we remember you.
Yeah.
We need one for Monsieur Duke.
I feel like Monsieur Duke's like Princess Python, and because he's really like a friend to animals.
Yeah.
Like he's always in his element if there's an animal around.
Unlike Project Pegasus, you know how to draw a horse. I decided.
I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure you
and
know.
We have a new sponsor.
Oh, damn it. I should have kept it.
Work hard for Zane Kroll.
You brought us sandwiches and a drink and two melons.
That's not how this works, Evan.
That's also not a compliment.
No, but it's really appreciated.
Okay, I got one. Like Psycho Man,
okay. You
bring out strong emotions, but unlike Psycho Man, they are pleasant and positive.
Oh, yay! You want to know what mine was? About Psycho Man?
Yes, please.
You're tubular.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Good quality content.
Aren't you glad you chose our podcast?
Oh, God.
All right. Well, that's it for this time. So say goodnight, guys.
Goodbye.
Amelie loves you.
Just Amelie, though.
Love is a strong word.
Testing.
Oh, beautiful.
Test the thing.